Can we race there every week? Kyle likes that one. Hello and welcome to edition 219 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at Archant Towers in the centre of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review another Baku classic as the 2018 Azerbaijan Grand Prix got us all out of our seats. We'll also have, of course, a flick forward to the arrival of Europe. Coming up, Red Bulls, punctured balls, and Roman's bullsh**. Yeah.
Lovely balls.
I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Hello, everyone. A pleasure to have your ears. And joining us on tonight's pod, we have two times, you've already heard him, two times Beckles kart champion, Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
Damon Hill Radical and blogger Richard Baxter, hashtag point tour.
Good evening.
And 2018 NRF1 newbie Stuart, as in Jackie Muller.
Good evening.
Lovely to have you on, Stuart, because we heard you on the preview pod. This is your first proper pod, so I'm excited. You excited?
What a race to start with, though.
Exactly. What a race to start with. Was this Ped?
Ped.
Ped's been in touch. He wants to talk about Grosjean. We will get there, Ped. We will get there. So, everyone's well. Everyone's good. Stuart, you sort of said you were okay. That's good. You've got a lovely cup of tea on the go. That's good. Carl, you well?
I'm still buzzing from the Grand Prix yesterday.
It was good, wasn't it? A little bit. Rich?
I've got achy arms, but I'm good.
You're off to Kenya. But are you going to actually miss a race while you're in Kenya?
No, it's been timed perfectly, so I don't miss any races. Go after the British Grand Prix and come back before whatever the next one is.
Well, take some cards. You can build up our Kenyan audience. That'll be good. Right, Azerbaijan. I mean, let's be honest. None of us, and I think this is all we talked about in the previous podcast, none of us thought that Baku would live up to last year's race. In a way, it didn't. It wasn't as good, I think. Others may argue with me, but phenomenal. I mean, it's still better than anything we've probably seen since. Why? Kyle, why? What is it about this place?
It just must be the long straight, the corners up to that long straight, something to do with the wind, the walls. I don't know, because the F2 races are crazy. Apart from the first F1 race, every race I've seen there has been absolutely mental. And if we can, I don't know, somehow pick up that track layer and just put it around the world, we'll be fine.
Yeah. But solve all everyone's problems.
But I don't know if it's maybe because there's low-speed corners that cars can follow a little bit closer, and then the time they get to the straight, they can slipstream each other. I don't know if that's part of it, but
I don't know if it's something that gets into them, like it's a street race, and they just sort of step it up a little bit and just become that a bit more competitive and fun, really. It's just got everything as a track, really, hasn't it?
It's like the corners almost hoodwink them, and they're like funnels, and drivers think they can get round them, Rich, and then they can't. And we saw that on a couple of great occasions.
Yeah, it's funny because it's one of those street circuits where if you make a mistake, you're in the wall, because there is, you know, parts of it which are really tight, you know, Monaco tight. But there's also other parts where they are quite nice and wide, and you have got enough space for three cars if you wanted side by side, which of course really aids overtaking. But there was obviously quite a few incidents into corners, and quite a crazy incident in qualifying with the Toro Rossos, where it was quite a tight bit. But
yeah.
I mean, the when you see cars going down the escape rows and reversing out, you know that you've got a real street circuit on your hands. But then, unlike Monaco, you can overtake. It's quite awesome.
It is. I mean, it's like they've just this massive drag straight that they've got really just opens everything up, and I guess it probably helps shuffle the order then when they get around the rest of the circuit and everyone gets that little bit more desperate. I mean, you looked at it through the entire weekend from first free practice, the amount of drivers who were going down escape roads and not having the grip that they wanted, you know, and then that just translated all the way through the weekend, and you get to the race and you think, well, if people keep doing that, which they did, they, you know, start overcooking it. I mean, Sebastian Vettel did it and basically decided one element of the race with it. You know that when it comes to the race, it's going to be carnage. And I mean, we've got a lot to cover, so we'll move on pretty swiftly. But I suppose we should start with the real end game, which was it depends how far you draw it back ultimately, doesn't it? But Sebastian Vettel overshoots after the safety car and plunders the race win towards Valtteri Bottas, who then inexplicably runs over a piece of debris that isn't just a flick piece of debris, it's a I'm blowing the f*** out of your tyre piece of debris, yeah. Ends his race, and Lewis, who'd been sitting there admiring his braids all weekend, can go, oh, holy mother, I've won a race, this is ridiculous. I mean, luckiest win ever, clearly,
yeah, totally.
For him.
It's just it's one of those opportunist races, isn't it? Because you know there's going to be safety cars pretty much, so there's always going to be, you know, the pack's going to get put together, then at the restart everyone's just going to go mental again, and everyone's so close, and like you said, with the long straights everyone can catch up, and you know, there's awesome slipstream, so there's always going to be overtaking.
Well, and it's an interesting one for Mercedes, because as far as I'm concerned, Ferrari have the quickest car so far this season, yet Mercedes are now leading both championships.
And Ferrari's still ahead.
Oh, they're still ahead.
4 points ahead. But you think Lewis Hamilton's probably had a very average start to the year, apart from the apart from the in Australia. And he's ahead. And you kind of get the feeling that he will turn it round. And when he does turn it round, he sometimes goes on these runs where he's unstoppable for five or six races. You kind of wonder where he'll be maybe after that period of time. Could be ahead, even though he has got the slower car.
But this is it. I mean, even if Hamilton turns it round, he is going to still have the slower car, you would imagine. And, you know, Sebastian's just got to... I mean, to be honest, he was obviously unlucky last time out in China, but this time he just so over-eager. And it's not... So there's something about Ferrari. They just seem to find ways to lose races.
It was funny. I mean, going back a minute to the luckiest race win ever... Don't know if it was ever.
No, sorry, I did mean for Lewis, but yeah, because as a Damon and Nigel Mansell.
I was going to say Kovalainen. You remember running, Massa literally broke down on the line on the last lap, and Kovalainen came round.
That was a deserved victory.
Yeah, he got one. He was fine. We love Hakey.
You know, it's one of those things where you have to be up there and in a position to take over when things go wrong for other people. If you're not, you know, in second, third, fourth, ready to inherit a victory, possibly if something goes wrong, then you know you're not going to win a race. So you have to be up there anyway to get it. Going back to the Vettel thing, he went for the move. He went big. I was there and I was saying these tyres, they're not going to stop, and you know, tyres, brakes, they're not going to stop into turn one. And I was just saying, if I was racing, I'd just back out early, let everyone else go straight on, and just go around yourself and take it. Which is what Hamilton kind of admitted he did. Vettel though, he went big, and he missed it. But I mean, end of the day, if you hadn't done that, would we all be doing to repeat a phrase I brought in last year, a reverse deja vu?
Yeah.
Like we had...
I still don't know what it means.
So, of course, we had Bottas right behind Vettel in Bahrain, and we were all criticising Bottas for not making the move, not going big into turn one or something. It would have been the other way around of that. We would have been criticising Vettel for not going big on Bottas, so... It's the same, but it's backwards.
It's perfect, Richard. I now get it. And it's great. Okay, Sebastian Vettel's a cracking racer. So, you know, going for it and showing that willing is brilliant. I love the point you made about, you know, being in the right position to take advantage if something goes wrong, which I don't think's ever been written on a wall at Red Bull, ever. But we will, of course, get into that in a moment. But Valtteri Bottas, how much do we feel for him at the moment? Because at that point, he's had a massive stroke of luck, he probably feels, and it's quite inexplicable. And where are we going to lay the blame at this? Because I'm presuming it was still debris from the Red Bull incident, or was it from somewhere else?
I think it was from Magnussen and Gasly's collision at the restart.
Okay.
When Vettel dived down the inside.
So literally that, yeah.
So I think it was after the safety car, so you can't really blame the stewards, I don't think. There's probably so much debris around the track anyway, it was just a bit unlucky. And Valtteri's been unlucky all year. He's been, apart from his crash in the qualifying in Australia, he's been superb.
He has actually, but normally in the past we see Valtteri drop his level or be inconsistent, but actually first three, four races he's been up there and he's been pushing Lewis pretty hard in quality too.
Yeah, he definitely has, and it is a shame for Bottas, but any one of them could have got that puncture. So we could have been saying that about Raikkonen. You know, he's sort of long time deserving a win, and you know, everyone would have sort of felt bad for him because it's just not nice, is it? It's not fair. But yeah, Bottas really did. I really did feel for him, and because he's such a good guy. And I do think, you know, everyone sort of criticised Hamilton for sort of saying I went up to him and sort of gave him a hug and apologised and said you did a good race. You know, I think Bottas would have done the same if Hamilton would have gone out, because you know, they're just he's a really good guy, so he deserved that. Well, he didn't deserve the win, but luck let him have that opportunity, and it's a shame he didn't get it. So,
and luck will have taken away plenty as well from Lewis Hamilton. I mean, I'm not going to have a dig at Lewis Hamilton for being a nice guy to his teammate, because I mean, Lewis does obviously attract some stick, but let's be reasonable about it. I don't think he's He's the numpty a lot of people have him make out at, by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's a genuine guy in a lot of ways. I'm sure that was one of the moments.
You can tell from his reaction that he,
of course, also,
that he felt a bit embarrassed, kind of, to win, and he sort of didn't really want to talk, and he sort of, yeah, he just felt embarrassed.
Do you remember? I think it was possibly career, and I'm going to say 2013. That might be wrong, but there was Hamilton and Rosberg as teammates for the first time at Mercedes, and Hamilton was in third. And he was struggling with his tyres, and Rosberg was like, I can go so much quicker. And Ross Brawn was on the radio saying, no, hold position. And Hamilton then was very similar reaction. It was, I don't really deserve to be here. I mean, Rosberg should be here. He was quicker than me. He could have overtaken, but the team told him not to. And it was a very similar reaction. He came across very humble, which he, shall we say, doesn't always do.
Also, look what he done at Hungary last year. He let Bottas through on the last corner.
Exactly.
So, and that's for a championship he was fighting for. And he said, no, this is the right thing to do.
I think he does have principles. Yeah. I think he does have good principles. Anyway, we're not going to get into talking to Lewis Hamilton. Go on, Rich.
These two have a really good relationship as teammates. And as a team, they will do their best for the team. And if you were to ever see them two have a coming together, for example, in a race, I'd be quite surprised, because I think they respect each other a lot.
And that's exactly why Valtteri is still his teammate, I think.
A quick question, though.
Yeah.
If you're Toto Wolff now, you had to make a decision if you're a driver next year, and you saw the relationship that Hamilton and Bottas have, or you go for Ricciardo, who could mess things up, would you go for Bottas after his first four races?
I would at the moment say yes, and I'd probably wait and make a decision to see how things are looking sort of halfway, two-thirds through. I'd obviously then keep talking to Danny Rick on the side and saying, no, I would love you to come in, just so that you keep your options open. But I think Valtteri's made a step up. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think there's an issue if you don't have two drivers who are bang in competition, because I think that can sometimes scupper you, which leads perfectly into a Red Bull discussion we'll have in a moment. Now, let's just say Baku... Brilliant. Now, a quick reminder of the best places to interact with on social media.
For their tourism.
Yeah. Get a hashtag out of that. That's what I say. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, our Facebook group as well. You can find that via our page. The handles for all of those at the NRF1. We love getting your emails too. We keep getting some absolute crackers. So I appreciate that. The address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, there is our website too that ties everything together. Visit nrf1.uk for all those links that you could possibly need to immerse yourself in this awesome podcast. I am getting there. The football season is almost over, or soccer. Once we're done that, life might get momentarily easier and we'll get lots of catching up to do. But that's just me getting my excuses in while I've barely got everyone's attention. Right, let's fire up the NRF1 pit stops. Where shall we go first, do you think, Stuart? Where shall we stop?
Pit stops, Red Bull.
Yes, Red Bull. Whoa, wow. Now, this was brilliant. I just thinking of my reactions. I mean, they were sparring and it was fantastic to watch. And then lap 40, you saw that unfold and I just went, Oh no, because it was like, and in a brilliant, because you're like, I don't know, you can't really buy those moments. It was just incredible to watch. And as far as I'm concerned, you've all seen how it unfolded, I'm sure. You wouldn't be listening to the podcast if you hadn't physically seen it, so I won't just describe it all. But I can't, the only way that doesn't happen for me is if Christian Horner says, you know, you're not racing each other. They're racing each other, so it happened. I don't think anyone can be more careful because of how they were going about it. But what do you reckon, Carl?
It's just the collision. I mean, maybe it's just a racing kind of racing incident. Shit happens occasionally. Worse was when Verstappen tried to put Ricciardo in the wall. Yeah. Probably worse out of the two, in my opinion. But it was just brilliant. I mean, their battle all race was brilliant. Like, they're diving down each side of slight touches, and it was just brilliant. And hopefully Red Bull don't say you can't race, or Christian Horner says you can't race, because that was brilliant entertainment. And I think when they were fighting at the start and Renault, I think Sainz got past them and they said, oh no, you got to follow each other. But you can't expect drivers in a car at that point just to go, oh no, I've got to worry about Sainz behind me, so I'll just follow my teammate. It's brilliant. Just let them go I think they'll be okay. Max just seems to be going through a run where things aren't going well for him, and everything goes wrong, what he decides to do. But yeah, they'll sort it out. They'll be fine.
It's not the first time they've been put in this situation, though, is it? You know, Vettel, Webber, so they've got a... They'll manage it well, because they've had to do it before, and they come out publicly. You know, it's about the team and getting the best result out of it, so they'll handle it well and they'll move on. I don't think they'll get told you can't race anymore. I think it's just a case of space and fairness. And you know, I was texting Rich through it, and you know, we were like through all the battles, and I said it's going to happen, they're going to crash. And you know, I think Rich said they won't, they'll be all right. And it happened, and I was straight there, and I was like, I told you it was going to happen.
Yeah, Rich, no reverse deja vu there.
Yeah, I was just seeing if I can find the exact context of the conversation.
As long as it involved a yeah.
It's there somewhere, I can't.
You deleted it in rage, didn't you, Rich?
No, but it was a crazy situation how that all unfolded, though, between the two of them. And people have been saying to me, who do you blame? And I just think trying to portion blame is like trying to portion which one of your legs you'd rather cut off.
Yes.
Because I think part of the whole problem, it was down to both of them obviously being on quite a different end of the scale recently. I mean, there was various... there was a poll I saw on Sky Sports, and it was saying, who's better, Daniel or Max? And everyone was saying Daniel. It was like 70-30 or something. And I was like, okay, Max has had a tough start to the season, but come on, you know, don't just discount him. I thought it was too close to call, personally. And it's one of those things. I think Verstappen was like, right, I've got to remind everyone what I can do. And Ricciardo was just like, I'm just going to show you, you know, I'm the best overtaker here. I breezed past everyone in the last race. I'll show you what I can do again.
Yeah. Well,
then. And it was just two forces. What's the phrase? Colliding.
The immovable object and irresistible force, something yeah. like that. I mean, you're right, because the way Danny Rick just dived down the inside of Valtteri Bottas in China, and we were all going, whoa! I mean, literally a couple of millimetres, and that could have ended up in exactly the same way. Our bonus Patreon podcasts have been awesome. We've got some absolutely cracking moments. So we'll probably get stuck into this a bit more on EP219, as it will be called. But I mean, I it feels like it's a little bit different to Webber and Vettel to me, because there isn't... It was Turkey where they crashed, yeah, wasn't it? There, it was a lot more lively and a lot more complaints and a lot more angst. I mean, they do seem to really respect each other, those two, and I didn't get the impression that either... They both seem to be fairly mature in terms of the drivers. The people who were upset were Red Bull, because they ended up having two cars out. But I don't know. I feel like, well, that's going to happen sometimes. And this didn't feel like... Danny tried to put in a dummy that Max didn't buy. He did then move slightly back across, so there was a slight movement there. But, you know, it's just what it is, isn't it?
As you sort of mentioned a little bit earlier, that Danny Rick's brilliant moves, he's on the edge of having a crash, and this probably surprises taking this long for him to have a crash. Yeah, I mean, I think they both realise their part to blame. Max made two movements, and was Danny Rick a bit too late on the brakes anyway? So, I mean, if he'd got past him, would he have completely broke the safe and ran on? So, I think they both realised that, yeah, we've both a little bit, but we were racing. It's easy to sit on the pit wall and moan at us, but, you know, we're racers, and sometimes happens.
I mean, it was quite funny to watch the crash, and then basically Adrian Newey grabs his clipboard and walks off. It was like as if, I'm done now, see you later. Yeah, no, nothing to see here.
I hope he just walks off, got to the airport straight away and just flew home.
Yeah, literally went, I'm done. Well, I think I'm sure I've seen that in The Simpsons. He just basically got up, walked off, just carried on walking straight out of the circuit onto the plane, and he's gone, and he's walking, hey love, I'm home.
If he could have just done like a, you know, like a mic drop style clipboard job, just gone into the garage, just dropped it. What really f***ed me off, though, obviously after all this, we then went through the whole restart procedure, and the local TV director bloke who in charge of the shots decided just on the restart, oh, let me cut away and show you a 10-second shot of an empty Red Bull garage. It's just like, we don't want to see that shit. We know what's happened. Just show us the restart. We're missing out.
In contrast to Adrian Newey, of course, was Christian Horner, who was visibly shaking with rage, according to Ted Kravitz, who couldn't really get a word out of him on the way back either.
And even David Coulthard said he made him that angry once that his neck went red or something like that. You know, there was just that deepest level of anger that comes about. But I completely understand it. You know, both your drivers are out. You know, you've got sponsors, you've got the team to, you know, that's put in all that work, and I can understand it. Like I said, though, it's happened before, but they'll get through it. They get over it.
So I always find it quite funny, that sponsors comment, because the crash is shown so many times that sponsors get a load of coverage.
Yeah. Everyone in the world is watching it now, because it's now going to be plastered all over their social media channels. Did you see that? Yes, I did. Lovely, brilliant seeing Red Bull everywhere. Aston Martin's fantastic.
I found the exact...
Oh, you didn't delete it in rage?
No. So I said, hell, these Red Bulls. To which Stu responded, I know, mate, mental, so like Webber and Vettel. So I said, so much, just without the crashing. Stu, for now, next, I told you, straight from Stu.
That is lovely. Good work, Stu. Good work. Right, I think it's understandable we spent a long time on Red Bull. There's a lot more about Max on it. And Max and his engineer, something's going on there. So we'll maybe save that for the Patreon podcast. Where else did we say we were going to stop off, Kyle? Because I asked you to write it down earlier.
Haas.
Oh God. Okay, this is going to take a while. All right, let's save this for later. Haas, I mean, A, they had bits of bodywork flying off their cars again. Do they know what that's about?
They do.
Oh, this is going to be good, isn't it? This is going to be good. A little bird in your ear has said.
Well, it's all part of the plan, you know, to shed weight during the race.
But tell me that's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. I think it's unfortunately just a bit of a design fault, I imagine, at the moment.
We can rectify that.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But
definitely.
It's just...
Depends what the design fault is, actually, in truth.
It's just a shame because they've got a quick car, but they're wasting points.
And this is good because the column I haven't had a chance to write yet is still going to be valid, so it gives me the chance. But yeah, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, and Grosjean, he's had a miserable start to the year, and Magnussen's bullied him in the first three races, and it was a perfect opportunity for a good result. And
We'll come back to it. I love that. Okay, we'll definitely come back to that because I know where we're going to come back to it too as well. Force India. Now, kudos Callum Springall. Callum teed up that there was something that would see a bit of Force India improvement. I guess we don't know if it's just the track yet, do we? But Sergio Perez, I mean, in the same way that Nico Hülkenberg can never buy a podium, Sergio Perez just seems to be in the right place whenever they're there and on a plate.
It's the perfect track for it, though, isn't it? You know, he podiumed last year, and just to be fair, you could say the top 10 were all lucky to get where they were and were opportunists in their ways. So, you know, fair play to him and took advantage of the situation. Like Rich said, you've got to be up there to get into the points or get into a podium. So he did perfectly and got his reward.
So that brings me on to my logic of the Formula One Fantasy League, which has started. I'm sure you guys listening are very tempted to set up your teams if you haven't already. We've got a private NRF1. You don't really want to know this, I suppose, but we'll have a patron NRF1 Fantasy League table to join, but we'll also have a public one as well. I think that's how we're going to do it. And we may constitute some more prizes in the patron league, but it'd be good to have a public one. So keep an eye on the social media feeds for the codes to join them as we go along. I've decided my first score, which was abysmal, is because everything was so unpredictable. So therefore, the people who didn't know what they were doing got lucky. Whereas, of course, I've nailed it. It's just at Baku, it's never going to happen. What do you reckon, Carl?
Yeah, I also had a poor weekend, so I'll go with that. Yeah.
Rich, you had a good weekend, didn't you?
I had a pretty decent weekend. I just like to think that that just shows, you know, I've got the capabilities of being a real team boss if I need to be, you know, don't want to say anything, but, you know, Ross Brawn, RB, Richard Baxter, don't need to say much more, do I?
I'm just going to cut you off there. Well, Kyle didn't like that.
I'm trying to work out if we've got any famous initials in Formula One with Casey.
Martin Brundle. He's not really a team boss, but...
Driver.
He knows his stuff.
He's a driver. Close enough, exactly. So more on the Fantasy League, I'm sure, over the course of the season, whereas we all get acclimatised to what it how to do well at it. I'm talking to myself here. Okay, well, much more pit stops and chat about the 2018 Azerbaijan Grand Prix will be in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, check out patreon.com/NRF1, patreon.com/NRF1. right after this podcast. And as a special treat, our pre-Bahrain exclusive pod is available for everyone and anyone to listen to still. Again, just visit patreon.com/nrf1. You can clock it there. Right, it's time for our Of The Weekends. Time is pressing, so let's rattle on through them, shall we? There's loads we haven't spoken about here from the race. I'm quite conscious of that. So hopefully some of these things will come up. Our Rodolfo Gonzalez, the driver of the weekend. Sure.
Charles Leclerc.
Yes. What did he do?
Just put in a solid performance and well-deserved. Really well-deserved. Good to see him up there. And I think, you know, it's promising. It's promising for Sauber as well to maintain good pace, and especially in a tricky race as well, so fair play to him.
It's been a long time since we've seen a genuine Sauber drive like that, haven't we? Like a genuine pace in a Sauber that and points on merit. Charles' first points as well for in Formula 1.
I think in my pre-season prediction I put Sauber's not getting any points at all, so I eat my shoes and everything. So it's great, and that's what we want. We want to see a lot more teams fighting up there, and especially Sauber, who haven't been doing too well in the last couple of seasons. That's great.
Yeah, he did a really good performance. I liked Leclerc in my fantasy team, so of course absolute bonus.
This is going to be such a drain, isn't it, the fantasy?
And he was the cheapest, I think, so why not?
Was he rich?
I think so.
Cheaper than Ericsson?
I think so.
I didn't even look that far down.
Five and a half, I'm not sure which one it was, but for driver, I think I agree with everything on Leclerc, but also I have to say Alonso, just for driving a car with two wheels back into 7th, 8th place, wherever he ended up.
Yeah,
7th.
Seventh.
I mean, most people get floor damage with three wheels. So is it physically... Well, I don't know how he managed that.
Maybe that's the best way to do it. Just punch at the other tire if you got one.
Was that his quickest lap in the McLaren with only two wheels? Is that the quickest lap? Or?
Well, if you kind of take it into account, Michael Schumacher was like really fast on three wheels in Spa in 98. Alonso's just shown how good he is with two wheels. But this brings me back on the subject of Alonso to another conversation me and Stu had during the race, and what I said about him being on two wheels, and it was just, how does that happen? And Stu said, "Ha, Alonso will drive anything." And standard response, as long as it doesn't have a Honda engine.
I don't know, maybe you'll go back on that at the moment. Cool, McLaren, yeah. It still wasn't great, was it? Kyle?
Probably, I also agree with Leclerc. But mentions for obviously Perez and Sainz. I thought Sainz had a very good race. Very racy at the start of the race.
Kimi did well as well. I thought Kimi had another good weekend, didn't he? It's something nice about seeing Kimi on the podium and doing his thing. You know, Kyle's not buying that at all.
What's his thing? One hold the trophy up and then one hand in the air next to it or something, and one wave. What's it? Yeah. There's that routine, doesn't he, every race?
Yeah. Even on his Instagram, he took a picture of the trophy with himself in it, and it just said literally P2. That's all it said.
I'll tell you something I noticed, okay? I should probably save this as an exclusive for the Patreon podcast, actually. I'm going to save it.
Let's not do that too often, because we're really going to people off. But you can do that this once.
Let's just say, I think he is contagious. Okay, listen to the next pod, you'll find out what I mean.
Oh, God. Rich loves doing this.
He's contagious.
I'll bill that. There you go, everyone, you've been warned. Team of the weekend, Red Bull. Force India as well, but shouts.
It's a tough one.
I think there's so many you could give it to, but there's only one who I really think stood out, and that was Sauber for getting their car up there and showing true pace. Because I mean, Force India, they were, you know, up there fighting there last year. They've had a tough start. One, you know, still only one car finished due to various events. Renault, yeah, great, but Hülkenberg again, just like the look of the wall, didn't he? So it's just kind of, while they both had good weekends, it was a bit of a struggle. I mean, Alonso, McLaren, they were a bit lucky to have both cars in the points, but again, you know, it wasn't a perfect weekend for them. So I think Sauber really deserved that one.
Yeah, I pretty much go with Sauber as well. I mean, had the safety cars not have mucked it up, Ferrari was strong all the way through the whole weekend. So yeah, it's a tough one, but I think I agree with Rich really.
Alfa Romeo Sauber. Practical Alfa Romeo Sauber.
I saw the car in the car park, Kyle. Okay, next. Oh, Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, or should we just call it the Romain Grosjean Award of the weekend? So this is of course why we didn't talk about Romain earlier, because fuck me, I don't even know where to start. I have no words. I mean, I say Romain Grosjean for, you know, I mean, I do the swaying things when I go karting to try and warm the tyres up. To drive into a wall doing that, I don't know. Like, literally, I haven't got the words. What is the height of ineptitude? Clearly, his engineer hoped that Ericsson had smashed into the back of Roman because the reality was inexplicable, but he was barely in the same shot. Someone help me out. I've run out of words.
Oh, I like Roman. I think he's a good driver on his day. He has shown some good performances in the past, but it was just one of those silly mistakes, and it was just so embarrassing and so daft. And he had such a tough weekend in the end, and he was having a really good race up until then.
He was P7!
He really turned it around and was up there. He could have been on the podium in the end, but it just didn't happen. But something I'll say in his defence, I think when the tyres are cold, the brake's cold, it's easily done to be able to lock up and lose it. Because I remember Monaco, I don't know the year, I'm going to guess 2005 or 6, maybe before then, probably before then, I don't know. But Montoya was in the BMW, and he was going through the tunnel and he locked his wheels, went straight into the back of Schumacher, who then went into the wall under the safety car. So it's like, if you can do that, if Montoya can do that in second place and take out the leader and himself, then yeah, that's probably a worse situation to be in.
It would be a good discussion point, had I've had the time before this, to find the moments that are more ridiculous than what Roman did. That sounds like a great shout, Rich. I like that. I'm sure there are others. And if anyone can think of any of the most ridiculous moments, then let us know on all our social media channels or an email, and we'll read them out next time, because my memory's not great anyway, but I'll struggle to think of them anyway. Everyone's showing me Perry Hamilton's good old Ped. Evening, Ped. His message on the NRF1 WhatsApp group, which you can join if you pay a ridiculous amount of money as a patron each month, but it's worth it because you get shit like this. What Ped says: if you haven't finished recording yet, please include this from me, colon. I haven't read this yet, so this is the first time I've read it. Grosjean is an absolute pillock. His attempts to blame his wall smash on anything other than a lapse of concentration is both hilarious and awkward in equal measure. That is all. Well, I think that's quite eloquent, really, considering I mean, you called it a silly mistake, Rich, but I mean,
I think that's it, isn't it? You can't say any more about it. He summed it up perfectly.
I mean, one other mistake as well, Hamilton driving into the back of three cars under the pit lane, in Canada, 2008 maybe?
Yeah.
That's another silly thing. It was just like there's a red light. He just missed it.
So, I mean, at least there was a red light. At least there was something that made him go, oh, I'm going to brake. And, you know, and a car in the way. I mean, I think to just go into a wall, literally, he's going sideways on a track that's going forwards. And I know he's obviously trying, but, I mean, go on, Kyle.
I don't know if I can add much more.
Yeah. His reaction was brilliant. Him going, no, no.
Also, when he, I assume it was his glove that he chucked in the garage. And
yes! And he hit someone with it. And so not only he's got to apologise to him as well, the poor guy's just standing there.
He was standing there on his phone, yeah, and then the gloves got thrown. So he was like, put my phone away now. Yeah. You could see him just put it away. Then it was like, better concentrate on my job. It's just like, I see, just because you're around the back, you think the cameras aren't on you, you give your mate a cheeky text, just like, driver's a what's he done?
Yeah.
And then he comes to you, you're just like, oh, such a shame. What happened? Bad luck.
It was just the idea that Roman at that point couldn't avoid hitting anything. He stuck his car in the wall, his gloves at one of his teammates.
Oh, what was the Mexican guy?
Gutierrez,
yeah. That was it. He had a similar thing for Haas. He had some moment where it all went wrong, and he went in the garage and he threw his gloves, and I think he got told off, didn't he, by...
Yeah, couldn't just dive out to go with.
Why are you chucking gloves?
That doesn't cause any damage, does it?
Chuck your helmet.
Not with the day he was having.
Yeah, true.
God knows what would have happened.
But Ericsson's fault.
I mean, I await to see if we will see anything as remarkable as that all season. There are serious consequences to it as well, because Roman doesn't really want to start having issues. He's not been entirely convincing or consistent.
No, he's had a poor year, and that was his perfect opportunity to score some decent points. He hasn't scored a point yet. But I was also annoyed at him because Paddock was a bit of a Haas fan. But also, I was worried that we would end the race behind a safety car.
Yeah.
Which thankfully it didn't, and we still had a bit, obviously, more chaos at the end. But I was so annoyed at Grosjean. I thought you just ruined this race. It's perfect. But.
Going back to the subject of Pasta Maldonado of the weekend, before Grosjean, I was so ready to give it to Michael's favourite, Brendan Hartley, because he had his moment in qualifying where he just was in the middle of the road, not moving.
Well, yeah, he had a puncture, they said, but yeah. No.
A little bit of sympathy for him, but it depends how long did he know he had a puncture before that point is what we need to know, I suppose.
Until anyone mentioned the puncture word, I'm completely with you, Rich. But what was the other moment? I can't remember now.
But then he kind of turned it. Yeah, it was, you know, it was the massive moment with his teammate in qualifying. But in the race, he actually got a point.
Yeah.
So I was so ready to criticise him again, but he, and thinking, you know, this is why he shouldn't be in F1, is a danger to himself and to other people. Ready to kind of have a bit of a go, but then he actually got a point. So credit to the guy.
Well, I mean, his first point in Formula One as well. And secondly, I sort of wouldn't necessarily say you're wrong in terms of him being a danger and a liability. Nico Hülkenberg would have been for me, because he's blown a really good podium chance. Again, just driving into a wall completely needlessly. Like, the guy can't... Yeah, he's struggling as well. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend. I mean, well, just... I would say the Red Bull crash, because that was just something else.
It's just ridiculous, but so much fun to watch.
For me, on a different note, obviously Alonso coming back on two wheels to the pits, then getting his car, getting it back out on track, and his mechanic coming on the radio saying, yeah, there is some damage to the floor. And I was like, what the f*** do you think there's damage to? He's just dragged it across the pit lane and half the circuit on two wheels.
But there's also the, I don't give a s***, I'm just going to race it anyway, and he got a seventh out of it, so...
He did.
Absolutely, that shows why you should never give up. Yeah. So,
God, so many. I don't think it was the Renault double overtake of the Red Bulls. Yeah. I just thought it was just quite cool, like symmetry to it.
Yeah,
and the Renaults look so cool. I suppose they looked a bit quicker, so they looked even better. But yeah.
Well, I think that's a major point, that Renault are giving Red Bull a bit of a push at the moment, aren't they? Or they certainly were this weekend, anyway. Brilliant stuff. All right, well, time is racing away, so to speak, pun intended. Race rating then, let's rip through this. Azerbaijan last year got 12 out of 11, highest score, obviously. Now, as I said at the start, although I think Kyle sort of sighed at it, I didn't think it was quite as good, but I mean, you're talking about something that's ridiculous to something that's not, well, you know, oh, my words, F1 perfection to ridiculous, something like that. So I mean, I'd probably say 11.5, or maybe 11 out of 11, because I think getting anything better than that race would be extraordinary, which of course last year's race was. But I'll come to you last, Kyle. Stuart?
I've got no complaints at all. That was a top race, so 11 out of 11 for that.
11 out of 11. Rich?
Yeah, I'm going to say like 10.9 out of 11, because what did annoy me was the extended safety car period at the end. I do think we were going to finish under safety car. And I really thought that should have been a red flag with... I mean, Hamilton raised it in the race, the recovery vehicle on the track. And it's like, if Grosjean can lock up and lose it, others can. And if there's a... Yeah, you know, I don't really need to say any more, because we know what can happen.
Exactly, spot on. Although they have all got halos now. But we won't get into that debate. Kyle?
Well, I thought it was better than last year. And I watched the highlights from last year.
Oh.
And 7 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And I still think it's better, because you had the Hamilton Vettel thing last year, but you had Verstappen and Ricciardo this year, and the fact that you had a move for the race win all go wrong with Vettel, then a puncture with what, three laps to go, was it? Two laps to go?
Yeah,
towards the end, and all the other little bits and pieces. And
I thought it was just everyone got wiped out last year, didn't they? I mean, it's like Lance Stroll was basically second until the very end. And you know, Lance Stroll shouldn't have been anywhere near a podium.
He had another good race, to be fair to Stroll. He was up there,
eighth.
Yeah. So we got points that Williams needed. And he's obviously got a bit of a knack for Baku.
Just needs to do it the other 19 races. Okay, so what did you didn't give, what rating are you going to give it?
I matched last year's. It was 12, wasn't it?
12, yeah.
Yeah, I matched, yeah.
So you're going to say it was as good?
As good, yeah. Right. I'll stick to as good, yeah.
Well, I don't know, with 0.9s, I can't work it out off the top of my head, but that's still...
Make it 11, that's fine. Make it 11.
No, Rich, no, this is accuracy. I'll work out the average. It's not quite as good as last year, but still f***ing brilliant. That, I think, is exactly where it should be. We obviously like to ask who will have the biggest smile on their face heading home on their private jet plane. So let's just have a quick name. It's not going to be Daniel Ricciardo this week, is it?
Perez.
Yeah, I think he's the only one, one of the few who's going to be smiling, Perez. So.
Perez or Leclerc, either.
So, yeah, Charles Leclerc, brilliant. Right, I should just say, first, Monegasque.
Monegasque, that's it.
Thank you, Rich.
I think Monacan will do, though.
Monacan.
Bloke from Monaco.
The first person from Monaco, a driver to win a win a point. Is that right? Yeah, win a point in Formula One since 1950 in the second Grand Prix. That's apparently what David Croft said. So, you know. I mean, you wouldn't believe everything that David Croft says, but I'm claiming that one.
I mean, Nico Rosberg, you can also kind of just put in that bracket, okay, he's under a German flag, but he is basically Monacan.
We'll work that out for the next podcast. And also something else that Crofty said that annoyed me as well. So we'll get stuck into that too. So make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. That's podcasts like this one. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll find the link for you, iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, Spotify, Radio Public. They are all there and more. If yours isn't, inexplicably, then just send us an email to let us know and we'll sort it. nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, please rate and review us on iTunes, nrf1.uk/isonitunes, and let us know how much we don't like Lewis Hamilton, because Callum loves that.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Right, well, understandably, having had such an amazing race in Baku, we've got minimal time to preview Spain. Barcelona, yeah, we see a lot of it. It's actually the last few races haven't been too bad there. The interesting bit for me as a short point is that Mercedes, and maybe we'll get stuck into this more in the other podcast, Mercedes do seem to feel that this is going to be a true reflection of whether they have genuinely lost pace since testing or it's just been a circuit specific thing. I thought that was an interesting thing Toto Wolff said.
Yeah, I suppose they'll bring upgrades. Well, most teams will bring upgrades for this race, so yeah, I think they're quickest in the test there. It seems to be the ultimate car track, which sometimes doesn't create the best racing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's normally a sort of steady temperature. It's a perfect track to judge them on. So, yes, huge weekend for them.
Two by two by two.
I don't think it's a case of Mercedes losing power. I think it's a case of Ferrari, Red Bull catching up and putting in the effort, and it's showing because, you know, they're fighting and they're up there. So, it's not Mercedes losing power. It's people catching up. But that's good to see because we don't want domination like that.
No, it's a fair point. It's what's making it lively, I suppose, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah, I'm a bit worried for Spain because I think we could see so many people bringing in new bits. We could have quite a dull race. I hope not, but it's one of those circuits which has kind of struggled to bring an awesome race in recent years.
Do you just think that will be because people are trying to get... They haven't quite figured out what they're doing with the cars, so they'll be a little bit preoccupied and things like that?
That's it, yeah. It's going to be kind of, let's just make sure we've got so much data rather than let's make sure we've got a car that's really quick around this track.
Yeah, let's hope. Well, hopefully we'll have better fun with the tyres as well, because we didn't really have much fun with the tyres in Baku, did we?
Well, the new tyres didn't seem to work.
Well, yeah, I suppose that was quite fun, actually, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, but I want a good two... A free stop race. They keep on this year. We said, they'll bring softer tyres and more pit stops, but it's been pretty much a one stop race every race. So, yeah.
Well, it's been a bit fringy between the one and two stop, but Baku definitely wasn't that.
Obviously, thanks to safety cars that we've had second stops and things. But
and also, are you an excuse man for Roman Grosjean? Because he could say, the tyres didn't work. That's why I crashed.
There's just no grip when you're going sideways on the tyres. I wish maybe they need to sort that and the brakes, and then it'll be fine.
Gust of wind as well.
Gust of wind, yeah.
Poor Roman.
What I also believe is that McLaren are bringing a B car, aren't they? They're bringing a whole new car. I think that was the plan a few weeks ago. Say that again, Carl, for purposes of...
They need to,
Stu.
It's true. It really is true.
Prediction league. Now, I have worked my way through some of the prediction league standings, both for patrons and you lovely folk who aren't. But you're going to have to give me another couple of weeks to get properly on top of it. I do apologise. So we'll go through all our predictions over at our bonus patron podcast. But for this one, we'd like to claim one off each of you, please. I will say that Sebastian Vettel will win in Spain, because I think it will be business as usual for the team that have a quicker car and no one's going to drive into him. So we'll see. Stuart, your one prediction, or one of your predictions, your pick of your predictions for Spain.
I'll go for a Red Bull podium.
Oh, redemption. Not saying which one.
No.
Oh, I wonder who it'd be. Rich?
I'm going to say there will be no safety car or virtual safety car used in the race.
No, it's going to be a race, then, isn't it? Kyle?
Kevin Magnussen, top six.
Oh!
He's going to bounce back.
And we'll hear Giuliano Salvi sing at the top of his voice. Right, we are done. We have, of course, overrun quite considerably, but I think when you get a 12 out of 10, 12 out of 11 race, or whatever we scored it as, 11.5 out of 11 race, we are going to overrun. That's how it works. Meanwhile, let's enjoy the roll on to Barcelona, shall we? It's already been a pretty lively start to the year, and we're certainly enjoying it. If you want to hear more from us about Baku, the action in prospect around Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya, the latest F1 action, and everything else going on, then you can hear our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast, including Rich's teaser about, what were you teasing again?
Raikkonen's contagiousness.
Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, that's perfect. Max Verstappen and his engineer. What's going on there?
Keep it clean.
And what else should we talk about? Oh, yeah, I'm going to pick a bone with Crofty, probably, if I can remember what that was. So for that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/NRF1. We will return with E220, our Spanish Grand Prix preview, and another bonus Patreon edition shortly after the action in Barcelona. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio. And goodbye from the crew, from Stuart.
Goodbye.
Rich.
Goodbye.
Kyle.
Cheerio.
And me, Michael, very goodbye to you. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Here's to more fireworks, come España, and the hope we haven't been spoiled already. Till then, goodbye.